T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Popcorn
rip. On three. One, two, three. This is Wichita Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
All right, welcome back. Shane, and it's Bruce and Jad back in the studio. This is Sports Daily on 97.5, 1240 KFH. Over on our sister station, 98.7 and 1330, you heard Kansas City on Sunday take apart the Broncos in the snow, 43-16, as the Chiefs improved to 6-3. And every Tuesday, we talk to Dan Israel from the Chiefs Radio Network. I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to have you back, Dan. I'll give you the floor as far as some reactions and what takeaways you had of a relatively easy Chiefs victory on Sunday afternoon in Denver. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning. For whatever reason, these Chiefs play well in cold weather. You know, sometimes it's cold and snowy in Denver, and I just don't think that, unfortunately, that Drew Lock was able to keep up with the Chiefs playing all three phases. When a team, any football team really, plays all three phases like that, you know, part of the strategy of winning a football game is to keep powerful guys off the field, right? We always say that, hey, if you can keep Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce off the field, keep that offense off the field, they can't beat you because they can't be out there scoring. But that's not true. When all three phases are putting up points, it's really tough. It's got to be tough to play the Chiefs anyway, but when the Chiefs are playing that kind of complimentary football, I think it's just an impossibility.
Dan, let's get into measures of improvement and where it needs to happen, last weekend notwithstanding. When you sit down and look for, in terms of repeating a Super Bowl and winning a championship, you have to hold and make, you know, your decisions at a higher level, and so you can't allow as much margin for error. So where does this football team incrementally improve in your estimation to start rounding into championship form, or is it your contention that they're there already?
I think you're on to the difficulty of playing in this league is that you can be very good and you can win, but to play championship caliber in January and February, it's much, much more difficult. And I think for the Chiefs, they've still got to improve on the offensive and defensive ends. I'd like to see Chris Jones and Frank Clark getting far more pressure than what they're able to do, because as you play better, and let's face it, Drew Lock's a very athletic kid. He's from my hometown of Lee Summit here in Missouri, and he is a talented individual. And as he grows and gets more experience, he's going to be better. But he doesn't have the kind of experience that you're going to see out of a quarterback like Drew Brees or a Russell Wilson. You know,
sure.
So you have to be able to get more out of your defensive line. You've got to be able to get those front four guys have to be able to get more done. I think we still could improve on the run. I don't know, for whatever reason, Vic Fangio decided he wasn't going to use his run game to help that kid, but for whatever reason he didn't, and so the Chiefs were benefactors in that. But I felt like, you know, we've got to get better at the run still, and then I just think the offensive line is so banged up right now that you've swapped out three pieces, and they've got to start playing together more cohesive. And look, they had a good week against the Bills, running the football all day long. But you got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to impose your will on other teams, and that comes with an offensive line that's playing really, really strong football, in my opinion.
Right. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. What did you make of Le'Veon Bell's contribution to the team, and will this be a 50-50 timeshare, anywhere close to it, as he gets up to speed with him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and how do you like that dynamic back there?
Well, you know, when they put them out wide left and wide right, you could almost just – it was like watching that moment in a scary movie when the guy with the chainsaw is knocking on the door, you know. I feel like, you know, we didn't see a whole lot out of Le'Veon Bell on Sunday, but the one run that he did have reminds you of that Le'Veon Bell of old that can just – you know, just tear down the field, just go right through people. And so it's exciting to think of, you know, that Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers days being on your team. But, boy, I'll tell you guys, I don't know how you give it to Bell all day long when you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire running like he is. This kid comes off 6 days of rest of almost 200-yard performance and still look good. Mm-hmm. You know, he is something else. I don't know how you're gonna pick one over the other. They've got a lot of mouths to feed on that team, you know, not only from a running game, but they've got a lot of power in the passing game. So that's like we said last week, it's an embarrassment of riches. But you know, when you start play calling and you start trying to keep everybody happy, it gets difficult when you have that many, you know, that many playmakers. It can be really tough to serve, you know, a good portion to any one of them. However, you know, Super Bowl rings tend to calm all those nerves down, right?
Yeah, and to that end, Bruce and I speculated on this yesterday. Do you think that Le'Veon Bell is to a point now where Shady McCoy was last couple of years, in that he's already been one of the best at the top of his game? He's already got his money, and now he's tired of losing, and he wants to be part of a winner, and he's just going to fall in line because he's got a great chance to win a ring. Do you think that qualifies for Le'Veon Bell right now?
Somewhat, Shane, yeah, I do. I feel like, you know, he's definitely at a point where it maybe isn't all about him like it was a few years ago. He isn't quite as focused on being, you know, the guy that's center stage. I think he still wants to be somebody. He said he wanted to reinvent himself, but I think he understands the dynamic of teamwork much better now at age 27, 28, whatever he is, than he did at age 24, 25. And look, you know, any of us who've got kids understand that. You know, there is definitely, look at what Travis Kelce has done over his 26th birthday. You know, I mean, he has continued to mature into somebody who you can really rely on and depend on. And, you know, I mean, you looked at Travis Kelce when he was young and was like, dude, do you want to be a reality TV star or do you want to be a football player, you know?
Right.
And so I feel like to some degree, Le'Veon Bell's, his distractions were different than Travis Kelce's, but they all start to mature when they get closer to their 30s. And so, to your point, Shane, I think he is probably just more content to be that guy, you know, to be a guy on a team that's a winning team, and to enjoy the part of football that you can do when you're a championship caliber team.
Dan Israel joining us as always, and so gracious with his time from the Chiefs Radio Network. At the risk of putting on full display my man crush on Patrick Mahomes week after week, I'll nonetheless make this observation. Because, Dan, the thing that I love so much about this guy, we've talked about it so much, that he gets it. He understands his role. He understands his responsibility as the face of the franchise. But if you're paying attention to his development and his maturation and his – willingness to not feel like he's got to win a football game, which I don't think he's ever really felt that way because he's always had great pieces of the puzzle around him. But watching him even last weekend in the cold, just allowing him to take what the defense gives him, and Denver, they scored a bunch of points, but the Broncos played pretty good defense for the first two and a half quarters of that football game. They were fairly stingy. But, man, he doesn't get in a hurry. He doesn't try to force things. He knows when to make plays with his feet but doesn't take the big hit. His level of maturation maybe is coming incrementally, and if you're paying attention, you're seeing it because he just doesn't force things. And that's another great attribute of a great quarterback, isn't it?
It is. It's the one thing, you know, when you look at a guy like a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, you look at all the skills that they've had throughout their careers, but what makes them so good late in their careers is that ability to just understand it doesn't have to happen in the first quarter. You know, it doesn't have to happen right out of the gates, that you have 60 minutes to figure it out and to just relax. I think our 2 weeks ago against Buffalo, we had this incredible third down percentage. This week against the Broncos, right, I don't think we were very good at third down, but the willingness to just say, look, our defense is good. Let's return to fight another day. And, you know, let's keep trying to pry open the, you know, he said it in his press conference. He said he struggled to find the answers, and it took most of the game for him to start understanding what they were doing with the defensive, disguising the defense. And both those things come with the experience where you've seen it before, you recognize it, and then the maturity to know, hey, be patient. You'll figure it out. Keep working. You'll figure it out eventually. And look, if there's one thing opponents didn't want Patrick Mahomes to become, it was patient, you know, because
right.
if you can't fluster a quarterback and he keeps working you, eventually a good one is going to figure it out, and he's going to solve the equation on you. And he's just up at the blackboard writing it all out until he gets it right.
Well, sometimes a good play is a punt. And, I don't care if you are in the NFL. It's hard to go 75 or 80 yards without making a mistake. And I think Patrick Mahomes, to Bruce's point, he's still just a kid, and he's already gotten that figured out. As far as, let's live to fight another down, and we'll punt it away and play defense. We'll go figure it out on the sideline. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. You don't often survive a game where you allow a special teams touchdown and a defensive touchdown, and that was the case with the Chiefs, with Daniel Sorensen and Byron Pringle providing non-offensive touchdowns. Chiefs barely touched the ball in the second quarter, but you can't lead the league in everything. And to Bruce's point and to your point that maybe they need to be a little stingier against the run, but, man, when you get two non-offensive touchdowns in the NFL, there's almost no way you're going to lose that game, right?
When your offense is sitting on the bench and you're scoring, it's just impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you fight that. And I'll tell you, I'd love to see if you saw the close-up on Byron Pringle. And I know K-State fans, look, they've seen this for years. But if you saw the close-up on that kid, when he caught the ball, you could see him jam the accelerator. He was not going to do anything but run full speed ahead, even if it meant he was going to get just, body slammed. That kid was going no matter what. And I talked to Coach about that, and Coach Reed said, yeah, that's what they love about him, is that he pours it on and he goes full speed ahead. And I just loved seeing that run, man. He just – it very early on the first 3 or 4 yards of that run, to me, you said this is going to be some kind of return. Maybe not – didn't know it was going to be a 102-yard touchdown, but you knew he was going to get yards out of that thing. And then he made such good decisions as he ran through there. And, you know, you look at that and you think he took the most, made the most of his opportunity. That's the second week in a row Byron Pringle has done that. And you think, you know, boy, special teams. And here's the other thing. Not only is your offense sitting on the bench and you have special teams and defense scoring, but special teams scored right after the Broncos scored, and they kind of were getting a swagger about him, you know. And you know, Drew Locke was kind of taunting Tynell Passon, you know, like, you didn't get me. And then the special teams comes back and just says, doesn't matter what you do. And I just think so demoralizing, so demotivating.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a 17-9 game at that point still. It essentially broke it open and changed the face of the game for the rest of the afternoon. You're very busy, obviously, on Sundays, but who else do you like? As you look around the league right now, who are the teams that you're looking at and thinking, that's kind of interesting? Where are you with Tampa Bay right now and what TB12 is doing and now the signing of AB down there, which is kind of odd, but be that as it may. Who do you like around the rest of the league, Dan?
Well, I'll tell you, if Antonio Brown's train is on the rails, that's going to be a dangerous team. I mean, who knows if the train's on the track or not? I don't know.
Right.
That guy's just, Damon said Sunday, he's a shy of a picnic sometimes, but that – I feel like that's a possibility. My football boy, the Arizona Cardinals may be more for real than we all gave them credit for, too. They beat a very young Seahawks team. I've stalled season long. I like the Seahawks, but I would say in the NFC Hawks, I'm keeping an eye on Arizona, and I think Tom Brady's got something going on down there. That's a little crazy. We got to say the Steelers are red hot as well. Wouldn't you like to see the Steelers come to town in a playoff game with Le'Veon Bell out there throwing the ball against them?
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
That'd be fun.
Little revenge game, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got one this week, kind of, against the Jets anyway. I don't know how big of a – much bigger of a role that he'll have in a game that, say, has the Chiefs as a 3-touchdown favorite. I don't know that they have much for the Chiefs this year. But how about what Justin Herbert's done in Los Angeles for the Chargers? He looks the part, man. And Bruce and I have said a couple of different times on this show, man, it took a doctor puncturing Tyrod Taylor's lung with a needle for us to see what Justin Herbert's about. But, man, considering he started his career about 3 seconds before kickoff against the Chiefs, this guy gets it.
Yeah, I hate to see them kind of figuring that out because they have so many weapons.
Right, you're right.
They team, but is that play the spread? It just goes to show how important the coach to player combination can be. If a coach doesn't believe in you, or you don't make the most of the one opportunity that you're going to get, that they never get known. I mean, it's like writing a hit song. If you don't get it played on the radio, nobody ever hears it. Doesn't make any less of a song, but it's not a hit song. And so I feel like there's so much of that in the National Football League. And unfortunately, that story unfolded in our own division. So not real crazy about that. But he does look good. As you mentioned, he looks the part.
And to your point, even though he started, against the Chiefs and then the next week, Anthony Lynn didn't name him, all right, this is our rest of the season guy. So to your point, if he hadn't taken advantage of that emergency start and plus that other start after that, they'd have gone back to Tyrod Taylor. So, man, you just never know when you're going to get Wally pipped.
That's exactly right. I just don't understand sometimes. We had this long conversation about this yesterday. There is something about the ability to recognize talent. And you know, some coaches immediately know, and I'm going to use Coach Reed and Brett Veach here because they had one game in 2017 that they played Patrick Mahomes in against Denver Broncos, and they knew from that moment on he was the talent that was going to be the future of that franchise. They traded away at Alex Smith, who was a very good quarterback, and we were all going, whoa, hey, what's going on here? We're moving a little fast. And then you have other teams who have talent under their noses all day long, and they can never figure it out. I mean, it took, what, 2 years to figure out whether Josh Allen was going to be a good quarterback. I marvel at that, you know? I mean, the coach in me wants to know, why does it take so long sometimes, and sometimes the talent goes completely unrecognized, and in other situations you have coaches who immediately know this is the guy. It's a fascinating thing to think about because there is so much of that going on in our league, all leagues, all football, all sports, you know?
Two straight games at home for the Chiefs. The first one coming up this Sunday at Arrowhead. The New York Jets come calling. They're the only remaining winless team. So a little bit of a trap, maybe, kind of, I don't know, a little bit of a look ahead, although looking ahead to the Panthers is probably nothing special. They're next. Yeah. You can hear those games in every Chiefs game over on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Jets are a jumbled mess. Dan, and to your point of identifying talent and having it right underneath your nose and et cetera, the Jets just haven't been able to figure it out for quite some time under a couple of different coaches. They're a hot mess.
It is. It's a dumpster fire. And, it's going to take a massive reconstruction where they do coach, possibly quarterback, and GM all at the same time. And none of that happens quick, but you know, you mentioned it being a trap game. I will say this. We were a part of that. If you remember, after Todd Haley was fired, Romeo Crennel takes on the undefeated Green Bay Packers came to town, and we just came out of nowhere. I think we had one win all season, or maybe we were winless too. I can't remember, but it was a bad season. We were a bad football team, and we beat a good football team in the Green Bay Packers. But that was also a packed Arrowhead Stadium, and you know, I think they look past us. I really do, and I'm not sure a Coach Reed coach team is going to look past anybody. I don't think that he'll go out of his game plan and prepare for anybody but the New York Jets, and I just don't see how the Jets. If we're ready for the Jets, we're ready to play the Jets. I don't see how the Jets can come into Arrowhead, even an empty Arrowhead, or 17,000. Yeah, I just don't see how that can happen. They are so bad. Last week, I was marveling at them in that first quarter, the way they looked like, you know, they were ahead of Buffalo, but they still had trouble punching it in the end zone. And it just, I just can't imagine. I'm not a betting man, but that one makes me want to bet. But when's the last time you saw it? What is it, a three-touchdown lead?
It's 19.5 now. It opened at 21.5.
Oh, my goodness.
And if it goes back up, Bruce and I talked about this yesterday, if it goes back up to 22, that will be one of the eight biggest spreads in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I
can't remember that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think there's probably – if you take the 53 Jets in the locker room, there's probably six or seven of them that go, hey, here's our chance to beat the world champions. The problem is there's 47 or eight other guys in there that are like,
going, are you crazy?
Yep.
Well, you know, the other guys get paid to try too, and I guess we'll find out how many Jets really try coming up Sunday because it is a tall task, and we'll look forward to hearing it. Chiefs Kingdom trying to get to 7-1. Dan, we appreciate your visit and your insight, as always. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet.
All right, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, Chiefs Chat, 10 a.m. every Tuesday. Book it. Okay, coming up next, we might crown a world champion in baseball tonight. And wouldn't it be ironic? I don't know that it'll happen if the Dodgers win tonight, but guess who has won two games in the World Series? Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. And might he be the MVP? I guess if you have a couple of guys just to pitch in here and there, the Dodgers win a squeaker, might happen, and will that vindicate Clayton Kershaw? And let's be honest, we're all rooting for the Rays, right? We'll talk a little World Series when we come back. It's the Rays and Dodgers in Game 6. This is Sports Daily. It's 1024.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!